Welcome everybody to the January board meeting. If you don't mind, then I'll go ahead and try to get us started. Our kind and most gracious Father in heaven, we humbly bow before thee and thank thee for the bounty which we have and the freedoms we have living in this country. We are grateful for your Springs Ranch and for the opportunity that it provides to have family and fun and good neighbors, and we pray that we might be guided to make decisions that will benefit the entire ownership of the ranch and provide for those opportunities that don't exist in other places in the world. We pray that thy spirit will be with us in this day, that we might be prompt and moving forward and helped in making life decisions. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And Mariah, we have you keeping notes for our good minutes again today.
Perfect.
Have anybody, while we're getting up and running here, let's have anybody on the phone identify themselves so that we can get you in the meeting minutes.
Okay. Gas Green, 156.
Jeff and Denise, 242.
Anyone else on the phone? Should notice that or note that Kathy and John are absent, and you can see everyone else is here. So
John called me 2 days ago and said he had something really important he was doing, and he can't be on the phone, but he has his phone with him. And if he needs a specific case, he can call him.
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Denise and Jeff Curry, 242.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the phone? Beth, can you hear us okay from where you're at when people talk?
Oh, yeah, this is fine. You're good. I can hear everybody in the room.
Perfect. All right, we'll give Mariah a second to get all the names down. You got it? Wow. Do you have the meeting minutes from the last meeting that we can present in Kathy's absence?
Yep. They were sent out ahead of time by email for approval, so I do have them here ready to go. They can be approved.
Has everybody got a chance to review them that wants to? And is all of it? Is there any discussion or input on the meeting minutes? Seeing that there is none, I would entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes for our November meeting.
I'll make a motion that the minutes be approved from the November meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, it passes unanimously. All right, we'll turn the time over to Master Bose.
Checking account has $58,325. Savings, we've got $25,060. And advanced checking, you've got, at the last report I got was $1,000. It changes every day, so I don't know what that is. Overall, we're in the green on the budget. All the cabins did well. The only two expensive items we really had were
septic tank in the garden cabin, which was over what we thought, considering we didn't have to do it. And then we finally did the roof on cabin 4. I'm assuming it looks good. It looked good the last time I looked at it. So we're in good shape. The only two areas that were in the negative category, which we expect them to be, was fishing. I think we paid $2,500 for fish. We don't charge for catching fish, so that's an automatic negative. And then the petting zoo is more than what we thought. That we've all agreed we should keep it the way it is. And other than that, we're in good shape and have money to spare. Mariah's got the report for where exactly we stand a little later. She put everything in, so she can cover it on her section. That's basically all I got.
Any questions?
Yeah, I'm dropping $2,500. That's a big jump on fish.
I think it was 22.
It was 22.50. And the reason why is, well, Larry, you're welcome to explain, but I can explain to you.
Go for
it. But the reason why is because when we realized we needed fish, they were already on their way out and had stock in there. We couldn't call for a private order. So we took what they had, and it was a little bit more than what we had. And Larry offered to make the difference, but we had money in there to be able to spend, and we felt like, let's just take what they've got. We've got the new ponds all sorted.
So we bought more fish.
We did get more fish, yeah. So next year we might be able to negotiate that a little bit more.
There's fish left in the ponds, we might know. There's usually good.
I know that a lot of people put them back. So they were
excited
about that.
So it's so much a pound, so if we got more pounds,
we
did.
Do we know
whose
canoe
that
on there? Did we take it off, or is it on?
I think the canoe belongs to Shirley, but I'm not sure.
I think somebody donated it.
I think it belonged to him.
I
can't
remember who it was.
We probably should take it off, especially in the wintertime. I hate to see somebody get out there and roll it and can't get out because of the cold water and the ice.
Yeah. Frozen in.
Frozen in.
We have a little bit of evidence.
I would as fall shut down time, put it in the shed, and then
I think now
paint DSR on the side of it.
Yeah.
We know who it will belong to in the future. Just not to sidetrack things because we want to move things along, but next time we do an fish order, then we need to make sure it's Phil knows because you usually piggyback on the order.
This year, the problem was the company that provided the fish sold out, went out of business, and so it took forever to track them down. And I just almost a random happenstance that I found them, and they said, oh, we're actually coming down to Glendale today. And we've got the trailer loaded, and we'll bring it to you. And I was like,
good.
That was the week of the holiday weekend.
And then I usually buy about 50.
Okay. Mariah.
So, let's see. For my report, I'm kind of doing a double report. I thought it would be helpful to know how we ended 2018 and how we're starting 2019. I also felt like it might be beneficial to give a little bit of history report as we close out 2018, just for fun and to have it on the minute. So for new members, since our last meeting, we've had one new member join us. His name is Mr. Scott Kohler. He's on Lot 15. That was formerly owned by Pleasant Haven, held by Diane too. And then Ed and Pam Stratford have also purchased a second lot. So, and that was lot 194, and that was formerly owned by Clarkson Investments. So, in 2018, we had 19 lots change hands. No, we don't have anything to lose. Okay, so then for assessments. We ended 2018 with assessment payments received from 95% of our membership. We were also able to accept payment from several lots that were severely past due, so that was definitely a win. Total income from assessments, including that collected on past dues, totaled almost $140,000. In 2019, we have about 25% of the membership that's already paid their dues at this time. Water hauling contract for 2018, we had 20 members who were authorized to haul water from headquarters, and then one non-member who was also authorized. That's Mr. Mel Heaton, who was also authorized. In 2018, we also had 3 members with approved connections to the lower water system and 1 member with approval to connect. So the lots that are now approved to have connections are 143, 144, 146, and 147. The water hauling station combination lock will be under a new code for 2019. So all the members who hauled water last year will need to pay their water hauling fee, and then they can receive access to that new code. Just let me know when you've got that set. We've already got, I think, 3 who paid their water fee. So cabin reservations. In 2018, we ended the year with cabin usage overall at an average of 55% of the available season. So for 2018, the top 3 most used cabins are the Garden Cabin, Cabin 1, and incidentally, Cabin 4. The 2018 income produced by the cabins totaled $16,300 roughly. In 2019, we've already got several reservations on the books, with more coming in all the time. Many members are excited, especially to see the improvements in Cabin 7 and 8. Then on to budgets. The first thing I wanted to say is thank you to the board for having the date set of December 15th so we could close everything out. That was very successful, and thanks to caretakers too for honoring that. Thank you, Mariah, for honoring that. It really helped to be able to close all the books out and get all of this information done so that pretty much we're ready to submit all the tax information and move on. So thank you for doing that. In 2018, we had a very successful use of funds, like Joe mentioned. We had so many things that happened that were not expected, and we still made it work in the budget, and that was awesome. So I'd like to note that this year particularly, there were many things that could have seriously set back our finances, but with careful spending of the budget in each department, we were able to cover those emergency costs without dipping into our savings account. So I think that's fantastic. For the sake of record keeping, in 2019, I requested from the board, or excuse me, for 2018, I requested of the board and the caretakers to give a report of the things that we have purchased that would be considered major assets or improvement of the assets of the ranch, and then also just projects that would fall closely under that category that were completed. So, number one, the Garden Cabin got a new septic tank. Number 2, we were able to purchase a new freezer for the Comfort Stop store. Number 3, we picked up a backup diesel generator for ranch headquarters. Number 4, we purchased two new propane refrigerators that can be used in the cabins. We re-roofed cabin number 4. Cabin 7 and 8 received a lot of decor and functionality improvements, including a couple of water heaters, new bathrooms, cement boards for mouth-proofing, screens, kitchen sinks, doors, all of those, and we'll talk more about that later. The ranch house received many awesome needed upgrades, including a very nice new bathroom. And then culverts. We purchased about 3 culverts this year, so those went directly to repairs or to stock so that we have them for future repairs. And then some of the other projects that were completed, the water tank was painted, and we completed many fencing projects around the ranch, including fencing off the new Garden Cabin septic tank, which has been much needed, and fencing around both main water line valves to protect from livestock. There's also a lot of new fencing in the headquarters corral area. The petting zoo has been a favorite. It was reopened this year with goats, rabbits, chickens, and a lamb. And there was a youth service project, which helped quite a bit. They painted benches at headquarters, stained the cabin deck, I think, and then also stained the front entrance way welcome sign. That's true. I thought they had done that too. Okay, perfect. And then the caretakers also purchased 18 new chairs to be put out at headquarters for gatherings, which were wonderful this year, especially with such a big turnout at the annual meeting. And then herbicides were also purchased for future rabbit brush abatement, and the caretakers are currently becoming certified to be able to take care of that. So that would be the report of just some of the few things that we accomplished in 2018. With
the only thing I was going to email you. We also, I think, collected $1,600 on the annual meeting.
We did. You're right.
Which was higher than we've ever done before.
With a lot of donations, yes, it was extraordinarily high. to me this
morning. Hey, Mariah?
Yes.
I thought it was an opportune time to interrupt, but I guess it wasn't. So it sounds like you're reading this stuff off of some written notes. Is that true or not?
Yes, sir.
So how much trouble would it be to make those into, I mean, it's a nice report, and we have a category on the website for financial information. I think it would be a nice report. If it's not too much trouble, don't let me twist your arm on this. To put it up there if it's written up.
No, I think that'd be a great idea. And I'm totally game for that, and that would not be any trouble at all.
Okay. Just to suggest, I make a motion that you all make a motion to do that or whatever. I second.
Water certification. Yes, you should have that on there too, because that's just one more step to self-reliance.
So this year I have to certify my hours. So this year I'll be attending awesome seminar and classes that will keep me up to date. Okay.
So
Mariah, once you're done, make the adjustments and additions, let's email that to Vance and put it onto the website as under the financial tab just for people's information.
Yeah.
It's nice for them to see that their money's going to specific items rather than just disappearing into the party fund for the board.
Yes. Oh, that reminds me. There's another one that didn't make it on here. All that road work on CODA didn't make it on here, too. That was a major thing, too. And I'm sure there's probably some road work that you could label on here, too, you accomplished. So. Okay, and then Joanne was going to grab yours because it's right here. But I also provided and sent out to the board a statistical snapshot. I just like to see statistics, I guess. And so I created this form as a way to take a look at how we're doing over the years, and I intend to keep this going. So I started with what information I have from 2016 with accurate information from 2017 on, and I think we'll just keep adding. And I'd like to, along with putting this information on the website, propose that we put this on the website also, and perhaps even offer this at the annual meeting for to take a look at. So what this includes is cabin usage, it just shows for the years how we're doing. Member water hauling contracts, so how many are doing that, lots that are current on assessments, how many lots are changing hands, and then the end of year profit, how much we're putting away into savings every year for these big projects. And then Joe suggested we also put on here.
I suggest I wrote it back. I think she had water testing.
Water testing.
And then what we should do is take all the water tests and when it fails, we can put it on a chart, and that way you two will have a chart. And there'll be a pattern. If it fails every June, well, then just before then, maybe you can add more chlorine. So if we have a record of when an average fails, we can keep track of it and try to prevent it from failing. But that way we'll know we can get with the news and find out what the ambient was or the mean temperature was for that month, and hopefully we can make it easier.
It was a warm month.
I mean, it won't stop it, but it'll show us. Maybe we can stop it.
Yeah.
And I think, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, I think Phil also suggested that you have a category on there of savings rollover from year to year so that we can see from year to year at the end of the year how much we had, you know, how we're doing, if that's going up or maintaining or if it's going down.
So this that I have here, end of year profit or loss. So I put on here in 2016 we put away $15,000, 2017 was $11,500, and this year I hope the board will approve putting away $8,600. So is that what you
I would, profit.
That's true.
I would call it a reserve.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But just don't call it a water.
I did like the sound of the board party fund also.
Okay, so then the last thing, later in the meeting we'll take a look at the budgets and discuss those. But for a moment, I would like to request from the board that maybe at this time we could discuss closing out 2018 and transferring money over to the savings account. So if you wouldn't mind taking just a moment and looking at your profit and loss, or your budget worksheet, that's the colored one. On the very back page of it, I have in an orange box the breakdown of how we ended for 2018. So at the end of 2018, as of December 31st, our checking account was $35,143.22. We still had some obligated expenses that either are coming out after the year just because checks written didn't get cashed till after the year, or there's funding that's being put to a special project that was determined at the end of the year, and so on and so forth. Those obligated expenses total $16,490. That leaves us with that subtotal of $18,600. I'd like to keep $10,000 running in the checking account at all times. This is our baseline amount. So that would leave us a remainder of $8,600 to transfer to savings. And I'd like to propose that the board make that approval to transfer that forward to our reserve.
Do we want to make it a round number or just...
Either way is fine.
I'm going to make a motion that we move $8,500 from the operating account to the savings account just so that it's a round number and easy to track from year to year.
I would second that motion with one question. Do we have, is there a, just one savings account that we have?
There
is. Is there a, one time we talked about, or maybe we had a capital improvement account or something different?
We did, and I think that was closed out before I came. But what we have is one savings account, and then it's been set up, at least on my end, it's been set up that I track the money that goes into it. For like the generator replacement, all those, there's categories within it. So when I put that money over, some of that $16,000 that's obligated goes towards some of those big ticket items we're saving towards. So this $8,000 will purely go into the reserve because there will be allocations otherwise.
How much do we have in our reserve?
Let me take a look.
What do you mean? So we have an executive meeting today? Yes.
Okay, so currently...
And the answer to your question is no, but we'll verify that.
So currently in our savings, which this is allocated depending on the categories for like generators and so on and so forth, we have $25,000 in reserve.
Would you say it's allocated?
It's in
a reserve savings account, but it's kind of like... capital improvement. I mean, that's what it's allocated.
It's been earmarked for specific uses. So it's still in the account right now. It hasn't been spent, but it's dedicated. We're moving forward on projects or items to where we can't double spend the money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. So here's just an example. I'll just kind of rotate this around. This is what I use to track where that money's going, how much we have for each thing, how much is transferred over every year if it goes up plus or minus what we've been doing. So this is just done on my end. Our savings account isn't broken down. It's just me tracking it on a spreadsheet so that we know what we have for each thing.
So the check, on that money, the checks have been written, so to speak, figuratively.
Yes.
We just have to, they haven't cleared the bank, so to speak.
Yes. That's what the outstanding obligated expenses include.
Make sense?
Yes.
You still stand by your second?
Yes.
All right. All in favor of moving the $8,500 to the reserve account, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
Okay. That is all I have for now until we get to the budget.
Okay. Fantastic. Let's turn the next 2.5 minutes over to Bill and Rachel.
A couple of things there on your website. I was on the website looking at it, and it's a little bit misleading. You have Forstack Rising, and I have to be deleted off of there. We don't have Forstack Rising. So that's sending the false information people get on there. And then the phone number down at the bottom needs to be updated to the her phone number.
Let me double check that. Is that your springgrants.org?
Yeah. And then the information that's in it is dated. As you're looking on each category, I just read through the whole thing about it. The GSROA. So I don't really
have too much time on your hands.
And, well, I do have too much time on my hands.
Well, to clarify one of those items, we do have horseback riding on the ranch. We don't provide the horses.
Okay.
So
so we need to clarify that if that's unclear, because we also have ATV trails and riding, but we don't provide the ATV.
It just needs to be clarified on there, because a lot of people this year came and they said, wow, when's going to go horseback riding? We're like, yeah, we don't have horseback riding.
It should certainly be clarified, and at least my goal, if I see things working at some point in time, then I'd love to see that restored through a third-party provider, because I think it's valuable, kind of like the petting zoo. But we are, as far as I'm concerned, we aren't going to do it. So we need to clarify that can be arranged through Allen's or any number of other providers. Right?
Yeah. So one thing that I think people asked for a lot last year was our ongoing list to be updated on the website, and like to so people who want to come and stay for a week or just getting out to do stuff want to know, and a real list, a lot of people commented, but they want to know an updated list of projects that are going on around the ranch, so they can just come and help us, because they're like, well, we didn't know, and the website said stuff from years ago. We're like, we didn't know. So anyway, it's just like saying, so, you know, we need help with fencing sometimes, but we know we need to help sometimes. So whatever, so we get that list up on the website, or however we get that website updated, so that people that are coming to stay for a week or whatever can just know what happened. They can come down and say, hey, this is on the website, I want to help with painting. You know what I mean?
Let me make a suggestion, and I think Vance has something to say as well. It would be helpful if you guys had a few minutes to make a written list of here are things that need to be changed and updated, and in the spring of 2019 or summer of 2019, here are the 10 projects we think should be handled. We can then review the specific list and agree or disagree, and then we can ask Vance to put a specific list on the website and track it, and then that we'll leave that on there for 2019. We'll add to it 2020. Here's our list for this year, and that way we know what you guys feel like needs to be done, and we can stay informed and involved. Vance, did you have something?
It sounded to me like
I think
John Harris had just come in.
No, as far as I'm going, you guys send me stuff and say put this on the website, and I put it on the website. So
okay, well we'll handle putting together a list and reviewing it internally, and then once that's approved, we'll get it sent to you so you can throw it on the website.
Yeah, and one thing that the follow up to that is you do need to let me know when something has been fulfilled so that I can keep it up to date. We put stuff on the website and it just stays there and stays there and stays there, you know.
Okay.
Okay,
sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Two things more is I think it'd be a good idea if we get that list together and we put it in that book. If they get and they look and they see all the regulations and what to do and don't do and have fun. So after flipping through that book in each cabinet, they have a list of things. But some people don't get on the website. We want to promote that. And so, and then the second thing is my body life that left on that.
So we sent out an email not that long ago about stuff we've kind of been working on and are completed, and so that's kind of still ongoing. Wood chopping is ongoing. And then Larry came and fixed the spring on the Kubota, so now our Kubota is functioning. So thanks to Larry for coming up to do that. Part of this, and then Cabin 7, it was awesome. Like, we had 2 days of work there, and we through that. So in the 2 days, this personal update here, we pulled down all the paneling in the whole house that was going to have the panels pulled down, and we got plastic set up everywhere. We replaced all of the insulation that had microscopies in them or whatever, so there's two insulations up there. There wasn't very many. Kevin said it was great. There was like 3 feet of them.
Just put it up there so I could carry it around everybody myself.
Now we're just waiting to
and that's got time and everything included in that
place. He's a contractor in town in Kanab, and he offered to bring some of his toys up, which, oh, thank heavens, because it takes forever to do stuff on your group. But he's going to bring his toys up next weekend, and Jack will be there. This new owner, lot owner, Scott, he's done amazing. He's donating every bit of his time. He helped with the whole project in Kona with the roads, and he's been there every step of the way for this, for 7, 7, and 8. So what I'm going to be working on, well, and Tim is helping me. I'm going to go into 8 and prep it just the same as we did 7 to save us some time. So when we work, if they get done with the tongue and groove in 7, they can just go right over and start with the tongue and groove in 8. You know what I mean? So I'll pull all the paneling down. We'll bring the trash trailer up, and we'll just go directly.
You the walls of the ceiling on the tongue and groove.
Every evening.
Yeah,
we thought it'd be really cool to just keep it going up as an A-frame, but because the ceiling in there is framed in, unfortunately, we can't pull out those beams to make it an A-frame, like inside, you know what I'm saying, instead of like a square kind of a boxy roof. That we thought that'd be kind of cool, but we weren't able to accomplish that.
Bob already said that you could do it, you have, I don't know what you used the word, but some kind of a metal bracket.
It'd be more money.
So it'd be more money, but it would look cool.
And so I think you guys are going to be, I think you guys really like the atmosphere.
Well, our cabin, too, that way now, the ceiling in the bedroom.
Yeah.
The whole, this is the whole thing we have there.
Yeah.
The one thing we decided not to do was to do the closet. We're going to leave the closet and on the paneling, and we're just going to put a primer through there and paint them and paint that a different color.
And put different stuff in there and make it look updated.
Yeah, we'll put there, hanger clothes instead of nothing in there.
Yeah.
How have you been keeping and taking photos?
Yes, we have a lot of photos.
I was going to say, I have Kathy sent them.
Yeah, it's not mine to her, so whatever she wants to do. So, anyway, so next weekend is another time. So if you know people or have time or whatever and want to send people to us, the more we have, the more we can do. And I'll do prep work this week with pulling down an 8 and getting 8 ready to go too, so we can kind of just move along. And then I think you're really going to like the kitchen from what they've been talking about. I think that it's going to be a lot better. Anyway, so as far as that goes, it was successful. We did all that work in 2 days on cabin 7, but only the 4 of us. Debra and Weaver, and so she was a trooper and stayed home while she was sick, and we worked all day. So anyway, so cabin 7 and 8, great, so I was late, and as soon as the ground unfreezes, then we'll do the mouth proofing around the bottom of it. And we're also,
can't do that now.
Yeah, we're all going to also get a mouth proof that laundry hut that we talked about, since the ground unfreezes that way too. And then the Kubota space or whatever. So the other thing we're going to talk about is the reason why the accident happened. Partly, we think, is because the hose on the gas or the vehicle is only like yay big. So if we got one that was double the length, then we would have to go from ground to top to down to over a crank and down to the ground and over. You know what I mean?
Well, it still would be, but the fuel tank, and so you've got to get within about this far with the equipment, and that's the hole I fell down to.
I would suggest you buy a new hose, and don't buy a splice. I don't want another joint. Buy a whole brand new hose,
yeah,
so there's only a connection at each end. I don't want a connection in the middle.
Called Petro West here in St. George.
Petro West.
Petro West. Tell them I told you to call. Tell them to fill it to me. You get whatever hose you need for that.
Okay. And then I just noticed on the budget thing that the ramp cost was approved for the grate. Is there any given time we need to do that, or can we do it any time? We kind of prefer to get everything out of the way so when the spring comes and ready to do cabins or whatever,
then
you can do that.
But I think as far as the budgets, we're okay, because we even collected almost $40,000 on this year's. The dues are ready, so we can go ahead and order a bridge.
What kind of an answer for the bridge?
Low as possible. Okay, what I would do is go to Lowe's or Home Depot, and what you want to do is open the refrigerator door and read that the amps that it draws on. The average bridge draws 5.5 amps. My fridge is a hair hunt? It's a hair. Mine draws 1.2 amps.
so it won't tax your solar system.
Yeah.
Now, you may not be able to find a hare. You may have to order that, but there's other ones that just try to get one under 2 amps if you can. And there's a few of them out there. They'll cost an extra $100 or more, maybe, but you're not taxing your solar system to the point where you can't use it because it runs longer, but the system can handle it. So that's why mine just was 1.2.
And the solar's been fine, so we can even adjust the solar panels this year, and our solar's been great. So
and if you find it,
we're using is not using the water.
And if you find it at Lowe's, rather than just buying it outright, if there's not a sale on it, get with me, because I get a VA discount of 10%.
Okay.
And sometimes 20% at Lowe's. It adds year-round, so I can save you a little, nice little money on that.
On the cabin renovation, we're trying to save that panel, but we're going to top it off before all of this. When we do age, we can save almost all of that panel by taking it out gently. Do we need to save it?
What would we use it for?
I don't know.
In my
this is just me talking,
but there's absolutely no reason you can't use it for skirting. You can't. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Bill?
There's not much to
it. I have a comment when you have a chance.
So slow and try to save it.
Yeah, I don't.
Far exceeds the value that it is. So
okay,
John,
go ahead.
John's got a statement. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a few minutes here, so I thought I'd call in. Going back to the fridge, I bought a hare at Home Depot, and I know that Lowe's will get anything that Home Depot will. I did get it on sale. They were trying it out. Now, I think you have to order them, but it runs, it burns 3 amps, but it works well at my place.
Not that 3, it's okay. That's the best we can do, we'll go 3, but just don't go 5.
I'm sure the one we have now, I mean, it's way old. It's all held together by duct tape, so I'm pretty sure it's drawing more amps than that. So we're good. So.
And the door doesn't fit all the way, so you can walk by and feel cold coming out of it.
So, no, I'm not saying that if you can't buy it too, don't let the 3 stay in the store.
Right.
You know, you have to have a fridge, so.
The one that's in there probably drawing like 5 amps, I'm sure. So I think that, I mean, we're just going to continue that. I'll be working on 8, getting it prepped so that the next show we have a crew coming up. We'll be working full fledged this weekend. I think she's just offering a weekend in the cabin for everybody who comes up and helps. Is that sort of good on that, right? Like, that's what she's told people. So the construction crew was like, yeah, you know, so.
And cabin 8, we've got to, I think the water here is good. We just have to replace the pressure valve, the release valve at the top, and then the hose tip that drains the water is all gunked up in there. And because right now we won't be able to unwinterize it, you know, because we can't drain it. It takes all day to drain. So we just have to send those two off and replace those two valves, and we're probably going to do that, I'm sure.
If we can keep 7 just running instead, then we can replace the water heater and everything at 8 and not have to worry about it.
You know, also, the next thing is, in the other cabin, it's been almost a nightmare to winterize them and winterize them. Fortunately, in 7 and 8, you didn't have a water to go, and you open all the tanks and you hook up an air valve that you have to add it on to the system, and it blows all the lines out.
So we're going to be able to insulate that any way that we can keep the cabins open longer in colder weather.
I think once that isn't done underneath, that will help, right?
Going out 30. What about the Dacronin straw bales underneath there?
That'd be a good idea.
And then putting the mouse.
That would insulate it.
Underneath there.
Well,
you can probably get them open all winter.
You're talking about on 6, 9, and 10, right?
Oh, 7 and 8.
7 and 8, I think you could. You just have to. We'd have to go down and build some kind of a chicken wire thing where you stuff the straws in there so it keeps going anywhere. Because it comes out from the ground and then it comes out into like that.
But before we cap it all off under on the bottom so mice can't get in there, we ought to do what we want to do in there to try to insulate it so we can keep it open through colder temperatures.
Yeah.
If not, we're going to have to be tearing the mouse things off to get back underneath there.
Brought up in what they wanted to do with all those cabins, but on cabin 7, that front stairs going up to the deck, it's 2-sitter walk, and then one step in,
I suggest we build a little nice and deal there.
A little deck.
A little stairway.
Stairway going up with handrails. And when you put the concrete wall board on, you're going to have to leave one space for either screw it on or a door.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have no access.
Yeah. But then that's what we're going to do. We just have to tear apart the rail.
And we may need to check money-wise whether we would be better off to insulate with 2-inch rigid foam.
Than straw.
I mean, straw is a big, huge attractant. I mean, even if you put in the board and stuff around,
well,
you might want to burrow in and build a nice little condo in that straw.
Yeah.
And it's a fire hazard, and, you know,
it's
just like,
so cut the pieces along inside the cement board, right?
We bought
15 bottles of that spray foam. So when we do use this cement board, we're going to cut down about 8 inches. Then we'll put rocks.
Yeah.
And then when we cut it right, then we'll spray foam it, and then we'll lock and bolt in the cement. So it'll be solid.
I did when we did work on cabin 8, we had to go down on that side, and I did go in there. We weren't insulated when we replaced all that new stuff in cabin 8, which was funny. I did go in there and insulate all the time. But that was kind of been done.
So we'll have to buy that phone.
Our neighbors, I was going to say on number 2, we had those two service projects with we had those 55 girls that came up and did that service project with the painting. And then we had that AA group in the garden cabin. 15 guys going for all that brush that's off. They cleared a brush.
Yeah. Does anybody else need a water bottle while I'm grabbing some here? Sorry, I didn't.
So you included the girls.
I would like to hear maybe some pictures. And we can have them done. I got a printer that does that type of stuff. It's pretty intense. You just put a couple of them and we'll put them on the inside of Tucker's stock for these projects that went on when you go in there and take it and just ask me all that.
It's more like a recognition.
Yeah, there was a board when we first got there. Big cardboard in a project to the mattresses and all kinds of things that they did. Just something like that. That members can go ahead and take it on that.
Cool. I think in reference to the picture that you sent me, it's a good picture, and if you look at the bolt, this jam nut should be backed up all the way up against here, so that bolt doesn't do this. If that bolt does that, it could break the bolt or weaken the spring, so the jam nut on the bottom should be brought up, should be tightened back up, because
that's that bottom one.
Yeah, if the top one tightens the spring, but then the bottom one tightens the bolt so the bolt can't move.
Yeah.
So just probably a 3/4-inch wrench on that.
Maybe do that.
Get 2 3/4-inch wrenches and bring those two nuts together and lock them tight.
Yeah, so the nut on the bottom side is juicy.
And if you notice they're both loose, that could have been some of the cause of the spring broke. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Let's
do that.
Now, it's a boat, it's not reliable.
Why?
Broke hat on it.
Stop.
Quit doing
the same thing
we
said
before.
That's our list first.
Okay. We'll move on.
That's
all.
How about
that one?
Anything else?
Well, go ahead. And we'll let you know, Joe. If you can find a clip, I did one in the sawmill.
Just
have you
purchase
it and bring it.
Yeah.
The one thing that...
Well, what I'll do is I'll go down. When I come up, I can pay for it, and you can go and pick it up. It won't fit in my Jeep, but
okay.
I have my trailer. I can bring it, but you might wait 2 weeks when you need to show up. But I won't come up until April. I can order it in Vegas and St. George. You can pick it up in St. George.
Perfect.
Yeah. You can find the one that's got the right
hand. Yeah, I'll let you know.
And I'll look for the ones in Vegas also.
Okay.
You have to run the generator much, or is the solar holding up?
Yeah,
the solar
is holding up. The only reason we run it is on 5 days.
And it's been really cold days overcast, and that's kind of red fine.
Because I found this generator, and I bought it for me personally. It's 11,000 watts, and it's propane or gas. And it was only $780. And it's got electric starter and it's propane. So if you have to, we can buy one of these and not have to run that big diesel to help you get caught up.
Yeah, we haven't even
And if it's propane, if the gas doesn't go bad, you can just...
Well, we haven't even used the back deck, the four-man generator since
we've got it. And it's portable. You can bring a propane bottle with you, or you can put gas in it. But preferably, you never put gas in it, because gas does go bad. This way, if you use propane, it'll never have trouble.
I think that the problems that we're causing for the big generator, the wire problems and the wires that go from the starter, you know, and the wire from the roof, I think that was the problem with the generator. But
what's the brand name?
W-I-N, I think, Wynn. And it didn't mention it.
Did you get it at Home Depot?
No, I got it at Lowe's. No, Home Depot.
Okay,
Home Depot. And I asked them if it was a true sign, and they couldn't answer my question. And I called their service department. They couldn't answer my question, so they called the manufacturer back south, and they said it was a pure sign. So you shouldn't have a problem with paper.
So the propane lines, when we did the remodel at 7, there's some parts that we need to order now. How to go through that, how to find it.
You can order the parts for those from Humphreys.
Humphreys.
Yeah, right.
Humphreys.
So we can tell you what we need to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the fridge is in 78 because of the new remodel. We took off those gas propane heaters off the wall that were supposed to be dangerous. We've removed them. We're going to store them and see if we can maybe can sell them, if they're still good or whatever.
It's a red tag, so I don't know what you
want to do. I don't think I want to sell them. They're so old that somebody buys them, they die from it. I don't want to be part of that.
We'll put them in the metal scrap pile.
I would say yes.
We'll get rid of the metal scrap pile together that we can take out and go take in the dump bag. We'll dump the trash, come back, we'll just set up and take it out and go get some money for our study. And then those fridges, because those things are coming off, the gas on the fresh air, we're relocating the fridge to that spot. And there's also already a hole filled in the wall for preventing. But it's so low that after we talked to Robert, the guy who's pretty familiar with those propane fridges, he said there has to be fresh air coming in and the actual gas to keep the hole in those walls. So the lower one we're going to put in for fresh air, and we're going to put a higher one in for the vent.
So if you better at the garden to
No. No, we had people in there. And when the last people left, we had some other thing going on. I just never got to, but we have that stuff.
This will be a good, you know, we'll learn how to do it in 7 and 8. I wasn't already, you know, so good at talking because we're educated.
The large thing, yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Did you tell us where you're at health-wise with your acrobatics?
Oh, so, well, the doctors are thinking that he's pulled in an MCL, okay? But you don't know if it's a full or a partial tear. So if it's less than 50%, there's no surgery needed. And if there is surgery needed, if it's greater than 50% tear, then it's not going to make much of a difference, but it'll only be laparoscopic, so it won't be a big cut, and, you know, it'll be kind of an easy thing. Anyway, he's got, like, probably 8 to 12 weeks recovery, full recovery on if he stays off it and stuff like that. But we're waiting on the approval from WorkNet for the MRI, both the emergency room and the place we went to yesterday is suggesting an MRI. And we hope with both of that information going to WorkNet and whoever it is, that they will see that and approve that. We already have one scheduled. We went ahead and scheduled one regardless of hearing from them or not. And that is scheduled for Thursday. We couldn't get any earlier than that with anywhere that we tried. So we'll be back out here Thursday for this MRI at 6:00.
Are you icing it down at all?
Yeah, and then last Friday suggested they're now alternated with...
I was going to suggest that. I'll talk to you in private about that. I know a trick on that. I had a problem similar. And I suffered for 6 months, and I saw a special physical therapist, and in 4 days, my pain was gone. But it was 6 months later.
Now, they did talk about physical therapy, and then I go to whatever, and I said, hey, this one, we live off the grid, this part, this is not going to happen. So if you can tell me some things I can go home, I'll do that. No, there's no way I can go. It just doesn't make sense.
My concern, not to sound insensitive, is we can't let this go on to where
you know, you're having surgery right before Memorial Day.
Well, we told them. They're wanting to take it. They're wanting to take it just like this, and I said, hey, that ain't going to happen. I got 2 months
now,
right now
you can heal.
That I can heal. So it needs to happen right now. So, and I just basically, we have insurance. I'll go pay for MRI, whatever.
Well, everything should be covered by workers' comp.
Yeah.
They're slow, but we just need to work through that. But I'm not rushing. I'm just saying we need to stay on that now while we have time, rather than let them put you off.
No.
If they have to operate, and if not, you just heal to get better, then they need to operate sooner than later.
That's what we told them. Well, we have a window, and let you stick here. I'll lose my job.
Okay, sounds good. Any questions from any board members or any members for the caretakers?
Do you remember our discussion about how we need to help our society, the water, certifiable water delivery thing at headquarters? And I don't know who, I was involved in all the discussions about it in the past. I mean, we looked at an area, a way we were going to do that. Where is that area or that information? Does anybody?
I don't know of anything that was ever really necessarily documented. I know we talked about a lot of different ways, and so but I don't know that there's anything that's been decided. I think it's important to work with the caretakers to say what makes the most sense. They're the ones that are going to have to oversee it.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Where people come to get water, to haul water.
To allow water hauling, you should have a state-certified pickup station.
You have to have install certain valves so the water doesn't pull it back slow, and there's some stuff that needs to happen before we make all those changes.
If
we want to decide
that... $2,000.
We want to make sure that it makes sense, the location, if that's the best place to do it, how we put all that stuff together so it works.
So my thing would be, could they just certify the ones down there to headquarters, that's where everybody comes anyway?
Yeah, well, it's going to be entire headquarters, and the pipe is where it is right now.
Okay.
So if we want to move it, now's the time to move it, but if we have to move it, we need to figure that out.
I don't think
we just have to certify.
I haven't gone over it because I don't haul water, so we just want to look at that.
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a very, very clear and precise document on what's required from the state and Southern Utah Health about what water station has to be like, and I can send that along.
You sent me a copy of it. I think I provided that to you, Phil. Vance, if you don't mind, send it to me and Phil again, because you sent it to me once and I reviewed it. But yes, that will be helpful because that tells us what we have to install. Okay. Any other questions for caretakers?
I have one.
All right, Phil.
Yeah. I just come in just as they were talking about who was helping them on those cabins up there. Who was that?
It was just me and Phil and Kathy and Scott for this.
Okay, I thought you said somebody that had to help them.
Our big dog went down and picked up the lumber in Fredonia that we left the flatbed down there. He went down and picked it up. He's a local contractor in town. And he's one that's doing beans through the house. But he brought that up there, and then he took off his hat, put on his other boots, came in, and
worked away with us
and taught us a ton of what to do. We're in neighborhood. And then we ran into him in town, incidentally, just the other day, and he said that he was going to bring a crew up, and they were just going to knock it off. As long as they could stay a couple of days in the cabin. And we said, yeah, that sounds good. So
I want to get eight. Correct, because if that happens, then we can just go out of there. So,
the eight guys don't know what they're doing.
Does that answer your question, John?
Yeah, the reason I ask it, I heard that, and I thought I'd heard something out of somebody or them before that the Collins had said something about they were going to help with something there. So I was just curious if it was them.
Well, the Collins were going to come up and replace the windows, but
Kathy had a window guy come up and look at the windows. The windows are fine.
I think the college is certainly and deserve kudos for putting together information and proposing to do that. Ultimately, it won't be necessary, and that'll save everybody money. But my understanding is they've been involved and very helpful in getting to that point. So
yeah, they are.
Well, I wanted to make sure I give them kudos because, as I say, I've been on the negative end of the Collins, and when I think they deserve kudos, I want to give it. Anyway, that was my question.
Okay, sounds good. Next subject is me, I think. And this won't take too long. I talked to my dad a little bit about the revision to the CCNRs. And let me just tell you for 3 minutes what he'd like to see happen. Get your feedback, and then we'll move on. Because there's the big issue with the CCNR right now is whether or not we can or what it requires to sell the 3 or 4 existing lots the Deer Springs Owners Association owns. What he would like to see is the possibility in the future of the board approving, and he doesn't want to leave it out there to the membership because it's so hard to get the membership consensus. But he would like to see the possibility in the future of certain common areas that are not used, like the backside of the well field and along the roadway down to the Jameson Ranch, that's the ranch down south. Some of those possibly being divided into lots in the future. He understands and knows we've had a great deal of discussion that the money would belong to the association and would be used to offset some or all assessments or projects. In talking to him more in detail, he's not thrilled about the idea of selling the 4 lots that exist for the same reason Kathy expressed in our last meeting. Those lots are kind of common areas, they're special lots. I'm not familiar with them, but everybody that I've talked to has expressed some hesitation and expressed there's a reason why those 4 lots have not been sold, which is different than I had understood before. Bottom line is, I just wanted to ask the board, is everybody okay with, adamantly opposed to ever having some of these off, we're not talking about Meadow Canyon, we're talking about the well field where right now even the cattle don't use it along the backside. I mean, is that something that we want to entertain, or is that something we're just not interested in doing, and we just say no? And what that ultimately means is our efforts on amending the CCNR is probably a waste of time. Any thoughts?
You said that we don't prove that you won't throw
them. Well, right now the sticking point is whether we can or can't, and that's just one of the issues with gumming up the works. But without a resolution there and on a couple of other things, we're just never going to get the votes.
Okay. So that's an issue for you.
Yes. And that's...
But have we heard this issue about developing 4 lots?
I don't know that he's ever flat out just explained it. That's why I'm explaining it, because I had a conversation with him and said, what exactly is the issue? What are we really talking about? And he said, look, we initially contributed 2,000 acres, but the idea was not never necessarily to lock up the entire 2,000 acres. There's parts that are simply not used. Nobody even knows they're there. They might as well belong to someone else. And if it can benefit the ranch, why not leave the door open to be able to create another 40 or 50 lots out of property that nobody will ever miss? And that's kind of how it came out.
Where's 40 or 50 lots at?
Well, you could have probably 10 along the back side of the well field up against that hillside. I don't know about you guys. I changed sprinklers out there 25 years ago trying to grow some hay. So it's really not
45 years ago.
And then along the road down to Jameson went ranch, it's kind of that flat area where instead of going into the ranch headquarters, it's that polywog pond and then out there further. It's not, some of this area is not great for grazing or anything else, but that's his forward thinking. He's old enough, he's not going to, I don't think, ever see it happen. But he wants to leave the door open or the possibility of doing it. So he has some.
Yeah. So two things strike me that I figured that we would have to look at. Again, that's the first time I've ever heard this. But one, the impact on the rest of the cabin.
Yeah, you're going to have more members, no question about it.
So there's impact that we'd have to take into consideration. And then also, I would be opposed to having a dude sooner come and go or use up the commodity, whatever money's come from that, I feel it should be for maybe more cabins, more capital.
Capital, I agree with you.
And not dudes come and go.
My discussion with him was, look, if we sold, and I just used them 10 because I'm bad at math. Okay, let's get that straight. We had 10 lots. We sold them for $30,000 each, blah, blah, blah. That's really, if you apply it over a year or two, that's gonna make a $25 difference in your dues for everybody. That's not enough to really justify it. So I agree with you. I think any money generated there should be more towards capital improvements or improving the common area facilities so that it sort of lessens the impact, possibly more cabins, pavilion, some of those kind of things that we, I think, need.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the heat
of all. I don't know if you could give a quick answer other than we could give an answer. I mean, I don't think anybody would have had to consider it as to weigh those things.
Well, and I'm not looking for a quick answer, but I know that probably most of you, this is the first time you've ever even heard this. I've heard it a few times over the last 6 months, just because, and before that, no. But I think it's fair that we look at it, and is it worth discussing, or is it something that we're just opposed enough to that it's not worth discussing, and we just say, okay, that's not going to happen, at least while we're here, and move on.
That's more clear exactly where you want to put more supplies.
And I could bring in a map, and it's not one created, but I thought about printing off a map and identifying specific areas. You could see them and say, okay, you're going to drive around there. Does that make sense? Is that going to interfere with things? But we still have to consider the impact on, you know, if you have another 30 owners, then that's that much more impact on cabins and fish ponds and roadways and et cetera. So, Joe, you had something?
Yeah, I'm not totally opposed to opening new lots, but I don't believe the board should have the authority to do that. I think we should put it to a vote on an annual meeting and see what the rest of the members think.
Especially
where it's located, you know, it would be a quiet. Matters to a lot of people. Obviously, it's not going to matter to me where I'm located, but it might interfere with somebody else's future plans.
My concern, as I expressed, was boards come and go. I don't think that particular decision where it affects everybody should be a board decision. I also told him, and I'll explain it here, I don't think it should require a 99 or a 95% vote. I think it should be a six, you know, a two-thirds vote or something, but I think that it makes sense to have the membership involved in that decision whether they want to move forward or not. That's my personal feeling.
I still don't
That's all right.
I don't understand what there is. PCNR, are we talking about you, what's actually about, or are concerned about the clearance and all that stuff? Is that what you're talking about?
I went back to him. I did the revisions we talked about. I took the declarant out. Doesn't have a problem with that. I just went and met with him and said, did you review these? What are your thoughts? Are you in favor? And he said, I don't have a problem with anything except let me explain to you my issue with with selling off the lots, the existing lots. He said, number one, those probably should be made common area and not lots because they have particular value. I don't know what that is, but everybody, especially like the Podunk lot or the neighborhood lot, has been there. But he's not necessarily excited about selling off those existing lots. He says, what I do think is important is that we provide in the CCNRs the possibility of expanding and adding lots in some of these areas that are unused, and that's where we went into the discussion. So that's where it came from. And all I'm looking for is, if the board thinks it's worth discussing, I'll gather more information, come to another next meeting with a map and some information that we can at least look at. If the board is adamantly opposed to even discussing the idea, which I think some members are, they say, I like it how it is, don't make any changes, then let's not waste my time in putting something together for further discussion. And the direct impact it has on the CCNRs, and whether we try to work that in or whether we leave it out there. If we work that in, we certainly have his support. If we don't, then it's an issue.
But this is basically creating language which would allow the possibility of something in the future.
Yes. It will spell out terms. It's already under the statute. It's already a possibility. It's just nobody can tell me, and I don't know the answer. My opinion is you would have to get the approval of almost every lot owner, and that's impossible. We can't even get 75% approval on anything. But we would be able to spell out more guidance and get everybody to vote on it beforehand, saying, yes, we're okay with this, and it requires a 75% vote, or it requires a 60% vote, or it requires a 50% vote, or the board can approve it. I don't know what we put in there, but if we are not interested at all, then there's no reason to discuss it. That's the point.
So I think maybe we should just discuss the line. I'd be interested in looking at it.
Okay.
I don't care.
Brad?
Yeah, I see no harm in looking at it and discussing it.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm willing to look at it.
I think we should look at it. My concerns are kind of what you voiced already. I don't think that that power should lie with the board helping.
So ultimately, we have a vote for membership, whatever percentage.
We have, yeah, and I agree with you. I personally agree with that as well. John, do you have a thought, or are you still on? I think we lost him. I will go ahead and, it's not an official action, I will go ahead and put some information for our next meeting, including some maps and some ideas, and then we can say, yeah, that kind of makes sense, let's move forward, or no. And in the meantime, if you want to talk to other members that you have contact with and say, this is something that we're looking at, feel their pulse. If the answer is no, we're simply not interested, let's discuss it at the next meeting. I'm not interested in wasting a lot of time if there's no interest in the membership, and the membership ultimately needs to make this decision moving forward. Other than that, the other changes in the CCNR didn't seem to have a problem with. I don't know if anyone else has any things that they've come up with or any other concerns since I revised taking out all references to the declarant other than in the definition section, and taking out that section that Brent let us know was a big issue as far as being able to evaluate and go on other people's lots and make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. That's out. Any other discussion on that? Okay, great. I will put some more information into that.
Question, Greg.
Yes.
Do you feel like you
I think we need to get more information because the bottom line is we don't want to open a whole can with the membership until we have some guidance as to this is an option and here's some flesh on the bones rather than just if we send it out, we're thinking about this, then you're going to have all kinds of feedback that may or may not have anything to do with the price of rice. Okay?
You were talking about lots. You guys had a cabin on lot number 5 there, but just because septic was too close to the orchard. So you could generate more dollars by just having someone have an RV up there. They want to pull an RV up there. They charge $1,000 to grab cabin metal, be up there, and then you just build like maybe a little pavilion with picnic tables. But that that's an idea in the future to bring in some extra dollars for
it. We still have to, well, we would be able to
go. They would have their own trailer, which has their own dump. And so they could not dump. So they, when they drove out, they'd have to dump.
We're gonna work on that as part of looking, and I don't have a lot of information yet. On the pavilion, I don't think we want to encourage a ton of RV stuff until we have a dump that we can, at headquarters, where we can have people. Otherwise, you have them just dumping it on the ground or down the hillside. So.
What's that number?
That has to go back to the road. You just pull it and leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, somebody else, a lot of people actually suggested putting like some sort of like a canvas or hard shell kind of adobe thing that has no water or anything available to it, but kind of a way that people can kind of camp without having to bring a tent, but in the space of lot size. Anyway, I'm saying something that people suggested.
That's just a suggestion.
And we'll look at that. That's the first I've heard of that, but I'm open to evaluate whatever we can do to improve the ranch experience and to make it less expensive or more economical for people. But, you know, we'll just have to look at it.
Well, this would just be from
during the winter months, I don't know how many
quite sure.
It's all out there that's open. People thought, I mean, right now, I've been on almost every road of the ranch this last week, even in the snow. And I don't go a lot of places, so I'll go a different way, and leave the road blocked off with snow, and I'll come in a different way. Just because as soon as somebody first drives through it, then next week there'll be 10 people to drive just because they're, and I know they bought my equipment, the people drive by and there'll be footprints over and around my equipment, and then they go to the next one, and things have been vandalized, things have been stolen. All of my equipment I keep full of fuel because you get condensation in your tanks if you don't. And invariably, I'll go out there and jump in the machine and take off, and I'm thinking, okay, I put 35 gallons in this 2 weeks ago, and now I'm empty. So, the cabins, you know, there's no reason for anybody to go up there unless it's an emergency, and if they need to walk up there to get in out of the shelter, that's fine. But if you can drive up there and eyeball, hey, what's Joe got? What's
you know, the, speaking of the guy, you know, J.C. Fuller, he's been going up all winter. He's actually driven to his lot 3 weeks ago, and because he put a fireplace in now, so... I've offered my radio, and he said, stuck. He can call you. You can call for help if he needs it. But he's been going up there quite a lot lately. He even parked at this place, walked all the way to my place, checked my windows for air breakage, and then came back down and said, Joe, everything's okay. So he's going up a lot right now.
Now, there has been some going on at the ranch as we've been there. We would like to cut the game cameras off where they're at and train them going. I know there's four of them. We don't have keys to them. We don't have any info. We don't know nothing about. Does anybody know anything about the game camera fence?
You can let them.
Because they're well, their location is not to be combustible.
I know years and years ago, Ben put in some of the cameras back from Ben and Paul Braden, but I don't even know.
Yeah, for a while on the road, they were put strategic bus near 30 cars and blah, blah, blah. But that was just a couple of years ago. John had charged security, and that's about all I remember.
So one, let's contact John and get whatever information
and the engineer over what you would like to see, how many you would do to need a brand new camera,
sure.
And then shop them at the location or wherever else you're taking.
I was surprised how inexpensive cameras are getting these days.
Well, the technology has come so far now that even out in a remote like spot like that, you can have a camera that's sending real-time downloads. You can pull up your phone and see what's going on even out in the middle of the boonies.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, with that, we'll move on to Mariah's budget proposal.
Oh. Okay. So I've already given you the 2019 budget worksheet. That's this colored one. It had 2018 budget listed on it. I thought that would be helpful. And then 2019 proposed budget is listed on it. I sent that ahead of time. So unless there are any questions to discuss, I think we can meet approval. One thing I'll add, I can request the board to approve it. One thing I'll add is Kathy had some concerns already regarding the upgrades that she wants to do at the cabin. And the amount of money that's been budgeted for the project this year, and the amount of money that she feels like. Excuse me. So she's up in Orem today for that reason, working. So I don't think she sent this to anyone else on the board. Were any of you in receiving this information? Okay. So she was just asking me to tell her how much she had spent, which I provided for her. And this, I'll just read what she said here in her report. So this year's budget from cabins, so she's talking about 2019. This year's budget on cabins is $4,000. Income for the ranch is mostly done by cabins. where she listed the 16,000 that came in off the cabin reservations and paper plates. We need to fix these cabins and bring more revenue in. The budget that was asked for last meeting was 16,000 to 18,000 for both cabins 7 and 8. So far, we have spent $600 on 7 and $3,600 on cabin 8.
Who just joined us?
This is Nick Brignone out of Nevada.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead.
You need a lot number.
So that fee has said so far $2,600 on cabin 7 and $3,800 on cabin 8. So the plan, which is still like to do, is of course all time is being donated, but if you want to purchase
there's a small area of tile that needs to be done. And then hardware and decor, kitchen countertops, doors for upstairs slider, solar for cabin 8, and then whatever unforeseen options. The hardware is to increase the amount on the budget or about $3,500 and put it towards this special project this year. And then she also asked maybe for a follow-up on the proposals on the general fund money from Dale, the donation. Has anyone heard anything on that? We have several members and non-members who are donating and plan to donate many hours of time. So she's essentially requesting that we can bring money up to that. I had told her an option that the board can consider too is taking some of the money that is not earmarked in the savings account and putting it towards the project as well as a possibility. That was her request for her particular.
So it's probably, this is your dream, that's great, but so total assumption work that is
Give me just a second, and let me decide
that. While you're thinking about that, part of my discussion with my dad was the response. I apologize. I had misunderstood, and I apologize to him. I thought that we should, as a board, put together proposals and get to him. He said, no, we really want to hear from members. But he did say they're not interested in helping with cabins. They are really interested in doing something along the lines of communication and improving the communication. Down those lines, I contacted a local contractor I work with a lot that is with Verizon and said, would you guys be interested if we help pay for it to build a tower? He said, maybe. And I got him information. I think I copied you, Phil, on it in advance. I haven't heard back, but there's also AWI on the Hill that I do work for. Most excited about. And where I was in error was I thought we as a board would put together proposals. They said, no, we just want people to contact us and talk about what they're excited about and we can help. So
we had that one email about communication.
Yeah. So bottom line is, doesn't sound like they're terribly interested in doing much of anything on the cabins. They are super interested in the communication side, and I'll continue to look into that and communicate with Phil and Van. So, you know, I think we need to let the membership know that those exist, and that it's the backbone. You don't pick up and dial your buddy. But
I thought we had that in the email, didn't we?
I don't know if it was in the newsletter or not.
In the newsletter.
Anyway, so an answer to Kathy's concern there, unfortunately, and I agree, I think we need to do some work on cabins. We have so much money to work with, and so anything we dedicate to cabins from here has to either come out of savings or out of some other category so we can invent money. But I am in favor of focusing some on the cabins to try to get them into a much better condition. I'm not sure, because I haven't stayed in the cabin in a long time, do we have to replace all the doors? Do we have to replace all this stuff? I don't know. I want to do something nice. And
them or whatever. Anyway, so they're keeping the door framed, and Scott himself is building those doors. So it's minimal cost.
Okay.
It's minimal. It's not, you know, they're not going to go to some, all this is handiwork. Scott and Robert are both contractors, and they're making everything. It's not.
And donating their time.
Yeah, and donating time. So they're trying to do it with minimal, super minimal. But I think that after 7, 8 are completed, or 7, we take Dale into there because he shows cabins to everybody. That's a big thing he does. And I don't understand why he wouldn't want to even help a little bit with helping him do this.
And I think more people have to have that discussion with him.
Yeah.
I had the discussion. But more people need to have that discussion and say, don't you think this makes sense? It's
well,
really this is the faith. And I understand Phil's point previously. The cabins don't necessarily benefit every member, but it is the focal point of a lot of members' stay. So we have
they
to have strike that.
Okay, so I think bottom line, based on what she's asking for, would be, I think it would we take the money that she did not spend from last year, that's going to come out of what we can transfer, though.
Right, that would be $8,500.
If we take the $35 out of that, that puts us down to, what,
$65? Where is it? $5. Okay. So, the money needed to transfer. The
$8,500
we talked about earlier, moving to savings, yeah. If we give her $3,500, we'll only be able to put $5,000 in savings.
Yeah, and the $3,500 that she's requesting, if I'm hearing this right, is she's requested the money from last year's budget that they didn't spend on cabins. So they budgeted that from last year, right?
Well, yeah,
that should have been either requested or paid arrangements for the fifth.
I agree, but that's what she's asking for, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the
$6,200
she's already spent has already money out of the account?
That is correct.
And she wants $10,000
more
or a total of
$10,000?
A total of $10,000. Okay, a total of
$10,000
in her budget is how much?
$4,000.
So she's lacking $6,000.
Yes.
And that means any other improvements that Joe will take to charge out of the upper cap is that.
So there's $4,500 set aside for maintenance. So there's $4,000 for furnishings and upgrades, then there's $4,500 for maintenance, and then there's propane money that's on each cabin. But yes, out of that, there wouldn't be anything left.
But how much is she considering for trying to put solar in 8? I mean, that's been talked about before, but if you take that out and just maintain the cabin, that's another issue for a lot of money.
That is something she did not clarify on site, how much each thing she was going to allocate for.
I know that her friend did an estimate for somebody and said $1,000 is what it would take to do solar in 8. And I think that it was over $1,500 in cabin 7. And that was 5 years ago, so I'm sure it's gone up though.
Yeah.
So he got an estimate and turned it into Kathy, and she said it was $1,000.
Yeah, her friend might be thinking of those 4 solar panels now. So we have here a story.
Yeah, I don't know.
But why the solar on cabin 8? I'm not in favor of doing it. As much trouble as it caused the last managers and everybody else. But they're overloading it, they're shutting it down, breaking the circuit breakers being shut off. Is it really worth your trouble to keep babysitting these people on set?
One thing they did do, yes, is we removed all of the outlets.
You removed it?
Yeah.
Well, they were all cut anyway.
They were all cut.
But we're all
we opened them up.
The average person that goes up there can't handle the solar. They think it's going to use a hair dryer and
everything. It didn't cost us, we only had to reset that one time this year.
Yeah.
Instead of one time.
So you feel like that is a flop for the solar into the cabin?
I do for fleet, for, you know, for sleep reasons. For people riding around the street on here or whatever, things like that.
Yeah, it won't operate that out.
Yeah. Seven, that's why people schedule 7 the most, is because they have sleep or oxygen that they need.
They don't operate on here.
Yeah.
Okay, since if there's not much further discussion, I propose as a compromise that we allow Kathy to use $3,500 of the what we were going to put in savings, reduce that amount to $5,000, and see what happens on cabin 7 and 8, and then base all the future what we do with other cabins based on how well we do this year.
Right? I vote that we go to the budget. how that works out, and then we make that decision.
Well, this is money that doesn't come out of the budget. It's money that would come out of savings, so it won't affect what you've got.
Okay.
Unless you can think of that you need another $20,000 in your budget.
No, I don't have any plans for anything like that, but I have taken the time to study this and see if it helps out.
Excuse me, can I chime in for a minute?
We have got our budget to make this budget balance, and we just took $3,500 out of that. So I didn't know that before we go in instead of vote on it.
We didn't. We didn't. We're taking money not that's already removed from the budget. The budget balance is almost $200 or something.
Yeah, it's like $800, but
yeah, I got to pay attention to that.
So this is money that doesn't belong in the budget. If we keep to our budget, it won't affect us at all. And I think anyway, on the phone you had a comment.
Are we up for a vote on this?
Yeah, absolutely. All in favor of setting our
clarify that again. So she's wanting roughly the $10,000.
She wants $10,000.
Her budget plus $35 out of our newly reserve money from last year that really was hers that she would have spent it last year.
So roughly she'll be getting $7,500 towards the $10,000 she wanted.
How is this affecting, because the cabin budget split between her and Joe?
So it will be $4,500 for maintenance, which I think would mainly be, in the past we haven't used to use all of that.
I don't have a problem with it because my wife and I and the other managers before they showed up, I spent 3 days on cabin two, house proofing it and finding roof. And if we have somebody that's willing to put the work in, let's get it over with. And that's a lot of time consumption.
Shows in favor, then I need even more
concerned if you're robbing
them. No, we'll still have money to take care of the everyday things, unless you ever took the tank you have to replace. But other than that, we should have everything.
Emergency break, have the upper cabin up and deal with it.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something more out of the deal with, but I think this is a good plan. All in favor of reducing the amount we put in savings to $5,000 and transferring the $3,500 there to Kathy for cabin renovation, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
For the loan from Barry, he can do
it. I've had to take out a few of the loans over.
All right, anything else on
budget? Well, just on the budget. So I guess in the last portion, so I've gone through the budget. This might be slightly adjusted because I did have to make some changes to it. So where we're at following bottom line is I'm showing we'll have a deficit of $2,300 at the end of the year. I went through and tried to transfer over everything we had in 2018 to the same amount for 2019. There were just some things that we had to make some cuts here and there in order to try and get it close. One thing that I don't think, and I'm not 100% sure because I didn't get a chance to find out from Joe, but in the past, I don't think we gave fair assessments to the assessments, especially being that we have board members that have those taken care of as part of their duty. I don't think we've allowed for that. So I did make adjustments to how much assessment money we'll be having come in as real money. So that did change things in the bottom. Also hoping that we'll collect a few more of those pass-through amounts. I mean, right now I think we've got 11 accounts getting pass-through. Hopefully those will be taken care of by the end of 90 days. So it's already up to $2,300. I did have a suggestion of a couple places that we could maybe get some of that money back to bring us to zero. One of the places I thought like maybe we could use is our red diesel fund for fuel expenses. Last year, so line item number 103, second page, almost three-quarter of the way down. Last year, we allocated $5,000 for red diesel. We ended up only spending $1,800. So I felt like I put in $3,000 this year, but I still kind of feel like we might be able to take some of that money out, maybe take another $500 out. We just didn't spend it, but I don't know why. I don't know why we didn't put as much
money. We didn't do a lot of road maintenance, so we didn't run the tractors.
These guys, no, are just learning. So they should be increasing their usage yearly.
And we also bought more gas.
As the deals get better, or they normally do, so that should last longer next year, this year. So
So that number really then realistically you don't want to change.
I think you're right. I think there's probably going to be some money in there that you could squeeze out of that with the fuel that we have in excess and the $3,000 budget that you budgeted. But then the year after that, we might have to re-putting that back up in there.
So could you
take five? Maybe, yeah, I'd say you could drop that to 2,000 or 2,500.
Okay. Let's say 2,000 for now. That takes care of a good portion of our deficit. And then I was also wondering, there was discussion on purchasing new inventory for the store, new shirts and hats this year. It was allocated that we have $1,000 towards doing that. Is that something that we definitely need to do?
We sold a lot of stuff this year.
Okay.
We sold a lot of hats. They're all separate, but for just for fast tonight, allocated $1,000.
What did we spend this year?
We haven't spent anything towards buying new supplies. We had a lot on hand. Yes, we haven't had to do that yet.
A lot of people comment on, you know, loving your guys and your family that does the logo, your daughter, or I'm not sure, I can't remember. But, you know, maybe if we just buy regular t-shirts and then have them print, you know, it'll maybe go down on cost. I don't know. It's up to you. It's just an idea.
Do we want to do it?
Sure.
And then
the hat. How
a lot
of people
want that.
Do you want
to comment
on? Do we? How
much?
Yeah, it wasn't
available.
Chili bought
so much
when
they were
gone.
Everybody likes those.
But maybe we can try again to see if there's more available somewhere.
Okay. How much inventory do we have now? Do we have very much?
Or not? Little of those things. We have it. So.
I know we were totally out of one shirt size. What was it? Extra large, I think?
It's extra large shirt.
Totally out of that.
Comment. Do you have a comment?
I don't know what the cost would be, but I'd like to suggest some prices as well. Because a lot of people wear prices and they don't wear hats.
That's true.
Especially
men. Okay.
I used to have a boss.
So we can't use that money. Okay, that's not
good.
That's
a year.
I mean, that's fine. I don't know if you want to say, but I don't know if you want to talk to him and see what it costs. You can bring him a inventory. Different colors maybe or something. I don't know.
Well, I think we ought to order shirts so you have all the sizes.
Yeah.
And so we can carry on the
story.
What about, can anybody roll our inventory so when we sell? Order some, and then when we sell that, we roll that money into the and reorder inventory.
So, okay, so shirts are 20, how much are they? Half of 15, and shirts are,
sorry, I can look it up. I'm thinking
about. So, if you do a blowout, you do shirts for 10 or 12.
And I
don't know.
I think that you guys should kind of manage that and manage it with the money coming in, rolling over replacement products. Just keep us updated where we are.
Well, we don't
want
to do it too low.
Okay, let me draw you back to, and I think you're right. But we're looking to budget. We need to find about $1,300 in here, and so, and we can't take it from store inventory. It sounds like you need that money, so.
Mariah.
Yeah.
The annual meeting for the 2019 budget cut it down for $1,000.
Yes.
We don't spend that money. And we had $1,500 that we
used for
last year. I don't see.
So we can take all of that?
We normally spend $500, don't we? And just use our $1,500 for our annual meeting that we've already raised. We don't have to put money towards that. Is that what you're proposing?
I don't know where you got the money here, but that's supposed to be separate. That should have been, I thought, part of it.
Do we have it? Is there annual meeting money budgeted into this budget?
Part of that rest of all the annual meeting food and entertainment.
So I don't think you have to budget $6,000. I thought you already had it in another account. Yes, so the $1,600 that we have, yes, will be allocated into the savings account. But this $1,000 is what you have to budget for the end.
Where's that? What line are you on?
She's on line
106.
So if I understand what you're saying, the money that we earned from the annual meeting this year should be set aside, and that $1,600 is what we will set use in total, and whatever we bring in. So in other words, we don't need
$1,000.
Zero
out
there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
So does that take away from the $8,000?
And that's $1,000
that you had put in there.
No, well,
is that $1,000?
Yeah.
How do you read that?
$1,000. My question.
So this would be this.
Thanks for thinking of that. So if you take $1,000, take that out of there. That $1,000.
And we have that equal down to
okay, and I feel really good about that. The other place I was thinking that we could take some money out of it out of one of my categories, line 50, which is safety. So far with our new credit card processing, that saves us a lot of money. I just transferred over what we had before. I think we take out 300 from that, or let's just take 500.
What line are you on?
I'm on line
50.
With that
adjustment and the budget's balance, and I move that we adopt this and accept this as our 2019 budget.
50, line 50.
Any second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any that need another month to think about it?
It's probably, she pees on her, when she pees, she gets on her fur. So if
can you speak up just a little bit?
It's probably going to smell it.
They're just talking to each other, and Mike's picking it up.
Oh, all right, go ahead, sorry, Chris.
On this investigation. And if I see it, I wash it.
Dump truck?
No.
The registration will apply to cover the taxes. We're paying almost $1,800, I think.
That's just auto expenses. So come on over to line 94, and you'll see dump truck listed there, and yes, that's been reduced.
Yeah, I thought we already
did. We just passed it over, yeah. Line 94.
I would think it's going to be around 2,000.
Okay. Sounds like we've adopted with this budget. Obviously, things have to be adjusted as the year moves on. We're never going to have an exact date. Unfortunately, we're not the federal government, so we don't have to stop working.
Yeah. Allocated where they have to do the work on the water system that Grant said we need to do. They need to dig that upper water system tank out, and we need to replace right now it's
Brent wants to empty the tank and then take the water pump out. And I told him I would make a black and run out of stainless steel tank. Because right now it's in this position.
Yes.
He wants to put it in this position so we can drain more water. But I'll personally make the bracket once it comes out.
And most of that will be labor with you guys and others. So yeah.
Okay,
moving right along. We're going to have lunch delivered here in a second. We need to get there.
Take
care
of
it. Or that kind
of stuff.
Did we vote after lunch on this?
If you want to look at it and have comments about it.
Do an amendment.
Yeah, that's fine. We're going to have to, things have to be adjusted as we move along. We're doing our best to come up with numbers right now.
What were the three areas that we adjusted?
We adjusted down on
fuel, bank cards,
and on the
miscellaneous is where I drop things. So if I don't have a receipt for something, so I don't know where it goes, I drop it in miscellaneous. It's also for other things like if you purchase flowers for a funeral, that would drop in there. It's expenses that we don't normally have or that I don't know where they go. And sometimes that miscellaneous category changes as I get allocations to receive. Sometimes it can go in other places, but it's just a good
safe amount, and that's been for years. We've had it at 1500.
Could be anything coming out of there.
It's provide a report anytime you want to see what's going in and out of it. But generally, for this year, that's what it's been. Oh, and reimbursement for all that went into water. Never mind.
Okay. Brad, talk to us about the loader.
The last time that I saw that tractor was used as a tractor, it broke down and Paul Brayton parked it in the field for about 8 months as you come into the ranch. And since then, it's moved a few hundred yards at a time now, and never for multiple hours at a time without waiting. So I just want to know where you guys think we're at with the Kubota. Is it something that we need to sell and buy something that we actually can have a tractor? Is it like our fire truck and it's just a feel-good item that we like to have parked around and look at, but we don't ever use?
That's a decision that I think I'm looking for recommendations from the managers. And if it's not functioning,
then we never bother to fix it, and that's what I said.
Yeah, that's what I can.
We could have. We needed more brush for hobby and stuff.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. I don't know why we didn't fix it. I don't really get it.
Well,
and it says it moves a lot.
It moves a lot of snow. I think it's a good
end work. Yeah.
Have we brought it in? Is it repairable, or do we need to sell it and get some new ones?
We don't know anything about repairing.
Well, let's at least repair it once in town. He
told
me on the way down, he said, what, you ran that for a couple of hours now?
Yeah.
And it's just been functioning.
Yeah.
So
maybe it's not tangible.
It just died? I mentioned this to Don also that I work in this industry for 20 years. People can put stuff in the tank by accident, and it floats around like plastic. You can't see it. I think we're going to have to do is put a fuel cap on there and modify it and put a paddle lock on it just in case someone goes by and says, you won't let me rent it. You can't use it either.
First thing is there somebody in Kanab that can review and repair the Kubota?
We had a diesel mechanic that came up the grant to work on the tear.
Oh, yeah,
he could. Okay, first step is let's get it seen by somebody that can diagnose and say this is repairable or this is not. Then there's no reason to have anything on the ranch other than that decoration stuff as you drive in the old farm equipment. Everything else, if it's not serving its purpose, you need to get rid of it and either replace it or get rid of it.
The only other thing that's a problem on that is the joystick is not.
Part of that is just the
nature of any of these things.
Get it to somebody that can give us a bit on what it costs to repair, or if they say it's junk, then let's just do that. And we need to do that right now.
Yeah.
Okay, can you guys take care of that?
Yeah.
And just let us know what needs to be repaired and what it's going to cost to repair or what their opinion is. We may get a second opinion, but let's not wait for months and years and have stuff that's sitting around.
Where do you get the fire truck?
Just let us know. I'll tell you, the fire truck is one of those things that's probably just going to sit there. We don't have a ton of money into it.
What's nice about the fire truck is probably its only. It is only that thing. You can get in that tractor and go talk to Kelly Country and do an emergency call.
Yeah,
right off the rest, off that rate.
Yeah.
So everybody should probably know that you can go out and do an emergency call out of that fire truck.
You can turn it, if it takes on,
emergency phones right up at the airport that you can go through the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from you, Brad, on the Kubota? All right. John's not here. We're going to skip him. Kathy, we've had the report through Mariah.
Bill, do you all have anything you want to talk to us about as far as your
property? I already kind of asked about the water thing,
so I ended up going away. All right,
Larry? One thing on equipment, I noticed when I was fixing the spring on the snowplow, the snowplow is supposed to have skids that prevent you from digging the dirt, and the skids have been either taken off or misplaced on that plow. Some people think that they're just something that you park it when you detach it, their feet to park it. Well, that's not the case. They're supposed to be either roller wheels or a skid or a big round foot on the plow that prevents it from penetrating into the ground. And they're both gone on that Kubota plow. So we either need to build some or find some. When you plow snow, you should always be leaving 3/4 of an inch of snow, not taking 3/4 of an inch of dirt. So I showed them, and so that's something that we need to fix or find. Or I mean, I may have junk in my yard from one of my other big plows that I can
call. I made some phone calls in Vegas when the spring broke. The only Kubota dealer in Vegas is a riding lawnmower. That's it. There is no Kubota dealer. Oh, so I can't get anything in Vegas.
So that plow may not even be Kubota.
No, I probably isn't.
I think, you know.
Brent thought it was an afterthought.
Yeah. So.
That's why I wanted a VIN number, but that's not even on there.
No. It's there. You can see where the glue is added on there. It's a little square.
Or they stole it.
Yeah.
Thick.
Other than should we be trading the plow we have done by doing with
No.
I think we're rolling.
It's a matter of it's edibles.
Yeah. There's a post sleeve on each side that it's just a leg. You know, the jack stand on your trailer has a little foot on it, a little square foot. Okay. It's something like that that skids along on the ground.
We have this stuff by it at Kubota.
Well, you're going to be here Thursday, right?
Yes.
While you're here, call me, and I'm supposed to go to lunch with you guys, and that might be a time for you to look at that. And then you're also going to be down here for training, right? Or where's the training for?
I get emails, updates, and sometimes it's a month out, sometimes it's a week out, and they just tell me it's seminars that are, and sometimes it's in Haywood, sometimes it's in St. George, sometimes it's up north. I just have to find...
Just let us know when you find which one you need so that we can schedule and take care of some of those things when you're here during the week on those on those trips. Okay?
I can look at the plow and
yeah.
Hey, I'm so sorry. This is Denise and Jeff Curry. We need to get going, and I appreciate all the work you guys do. Thank you so much. But I did have a quick question. Last year, twice on Slide Canyon, we saw groups of young men walking along, and they said they were camping and that they had permission. Well, we don't know where are they camping, and excuse me, where are they, you know, depositing their garbage and personal. We didn't know what to think of that.
Anybody want to address that, or do you want me to? There's a training, a desert training camp for kids, for youth. They're supposed to haul in and out their garbage, but they do not have permission to camp anywhere on the ranch. We can't keep them off of the roads that are county roads.
Or BLM property.
But as far as the ranch property, they do not have permission to be on there, and they are not to camp on the road. So what we request is, If members run across those groups that are where they're not supposed to be, then you call me and let me know, and I will let the company know that runs that program that there's a problem with that, and we can get it fixed that way.
We've done that a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, that was on Slide Canyon. Who do I call?
Barry Clarkson, the president.
Okay. Great, Barry. All right.
Call me and let me know, and I will call. I don't know why the name just escaped me.
Wingate program.
And they try. I wish they'd do a better job, but they try to follow the rules. Some of these groups get off track. Let's just put it that way. And And so we need to regular, if it's happening, we need to let them know so that they can do something about it.
All right, well, that's all. I'm sorry for the interruption. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for the interaction, and we appreciate you being part of the meeting.
What's that?
All right, you guys. Have a good day.
Bye, Denise.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Anything, Joe? Do you have anything on your cabin?
No.
Brad, do you have anything on agriculture you want to talk about?
I just wanted, for the record, to have it noted that we
been in contact with NCRS again and applied for funding, and we're in the ranking process right now. And so we have a range management program for our ranch. There's been thousands of dollars spent on brush hogging and cleaning up our agriculture and trying to take better care of the ranch itself, along with the restitution project of the corrals down at headquarters. So that's it.
There's two things that I need to bring up still in the general meeting, then we'll have lunch and lunch break, and then have a short executive session. Number one, we noticed that this meeting would be a discussion of rental equipment. I don't know if anybody has discussion items, but this isn't a motion yet, but I propose that we simply amend the rules and eliminate the regular practice of renting out ranch equipment. That doesn't mean on a case-by-case basis it can't be approved by the board, but we have created an atmosphere where some members assume that it's their right to be able to rent equipment whenever they want, and quite honestly, I've been surprised at the level of entitlement somewhere, and I just think that it's best. We need to keep the ranch equipment to where it's available for use by the ranch. It's not new equipment. I don't want to wear it out on private use. We're not a rental company, and I don't want the liability of renting out equipment. And so that, we need to have a short discussion on that and vote and see if the rest of the board agrees with me or if you still think it's a good idea to rent equipment. Any comments?
I agree. I don't think we should rent it out.
Okay. All right. I will go ahead and make a motion that
it's available.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with somebody coming in to the board and saying, I'd like to do this. Are you guys okay? And then we all discuss it, and if it's fine. I'm just talking about the automatic.
What their project
here,
is.
You know, in the rules, we have a set fee schedule, and people just assume all they do is walk in the door and pay their fee. I think we need to do away with that.
I called John Harris. He called me on that. He specifically said he didn't want to rent you.
I move that we modify and amend the rules and regulations and terminate the program of renting the ranch equipment to individuals except on a case-by-case basis approved by the board.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye. And I say if anybody calls you on that, you tell them to call the board, it is stopped. So it takes you off the road. You don't need that. You don't need that hassle.
Just tell them the instruction from the board is we're not renting equipment anymore. If you have any questions, call me.
Any pieces that are available for rent and then $50,000 deposit.
That's still all the way.
Okay.
Need a little work on the air compressor. I don't know what it's doing. It's out weak or soft.
Let me give you my instruction on any of that stuff. If it breaks or if it's not functioning properly, find out what it's going to cost to fix. Talk to us. We approve it and get it done. Don't wait. Don't discuss it. If the compressor is not functioning the way a compressor works, it either needs to be gotten rid of or it needs to be replaced.
Okay.
And so don't hesitate and feel like what we need is you to say, this is wrong with the compressor, it's going to cost $500 to fix, and this is who can fix it. Will you approve that or not?
Yeah.
Don't wait on those things to get evaluations on what, because I hate junk laying around. If it doesn't function the way it should be functioned, then it needs to be, we need to move on.
If the belt squeaks, you can tighten the belt so it's tighter, you stop it, get an old candle, a load of running, lean it against the belt, it'll coat the bottom of it with wax. If that stops it, then buy a new belt. If it doesn't stop it, then it's not the belt squeaking, it's something else.
I move that we adjourn this meeting until
the second Saturday of February. And since I guess it's still going to be cold and snowy, that we have it here unless someone else wants to volunteer their place. And I'm happy. It's easier for me if I have it here, and if we have it here, I'll provide you lunch. That's my incentive to get you to come here instead of me.
I heard it.
Okay.
So the second Saturday of February.
Right? Yeah. Does that work for everybody?
That's my wife's birthday, and
it's for you to remember that.
I'm actually taking her to Vegas on the 7th to see the Donnie and Marie show. Nobody tell her, she's a surprise. She's actually been very sick and is still very, very sick, and so if I can do anything to get her out of her funk.
Does the 16th work for
Saturday? I can be back for that meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to schedule it at 10 o'clock. Does 10 o'clock work for traveling folks?
Yeah.
Mariah, is that too early?
No, I can be here by then.
Okay. The 9th at 10 o'clock here at my office.
Good.
Any objections? Okay. Lunch is in the kitchen.
Hop along.